get started then. So you want to do, will you do a roll call?
Yep. Yeah. Ross Davis.
I am here.
Bill Ray is excused. Yvonne Cruz.
I am here.
Christina Miller. Okay. Dave Gibbous.
Gibbous is coming in the door now.
Simon Ponder.
Here.
Tanya Walker.
Here.
Hey there.
David Gibbous.
Here. Christine's on her way too.
Okay.
Perfect. We didn't have minutes from February?
No.
Because it was quick. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll hear a consideration for the minutes for January and March. If anybody wants to.
Motion to approve.
Second. Yeah, I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. Approved.
Hi.
Hello.
You so?
Is there any public comment tonight? Nobody wishing to appear? No public comment. No one wishing to appear. All right. Unfinished business.
So I don't have anything new to report on the skate park. So unless you have questions about what I've reported in the past, which I can't even remember. We did get a concept plan, and we hope to meet starting the beginning of the summer to start working out a fundraising strategy.
I was going to say, there was a good turnout of folks at Muni for that, and some people, we were talking about it before the meeting started, were unreasonably passionate about it, very passionate, almost, again, unreasonable in what they were saying, as we talked about. But yeah, I think it's great. That's it.
Is the fundraising going to be kind of a grassroots thing, or is it going to be through this department?
Well,
or?
The first step is going to be to develop a fundraising plan, which will be, you know, what we think we can go after in terms of grants, how much of it we'll think we can knock out that way. And then we'll start to develop a plan for possibly some of the people we think might be can make larger contributions to the project, either with in-kind materials or cash. So if you got a rich uncle, we'd like to know them. And then after that, it will become very grassroots. That'll give us a general idea once we go through that. You don't want to offer your $100 option you don't want people to be able to satisfy their need to be a part of the project with $100 if they can afford to give you $100,000. Mm-hmm. So once we work through that, then we'll set up either a Kickstarter campaign or something like that to try to take donations to close up the gap. We're trying to position to request a fundraiser position in the budget next year. I don't know if our finances can really afford that. So it's part of the conversation. We have a budget meeting week after next, and I'll get a little bit better feel for that. But by the beginning of the summer, we hope to at least have the plan fleshed out, and then we'll start to move through it.
So when you say a fundraiser position, that means only for the skate park project?
Probably not. We have
so it'll
quite
be
a few,
other things yeah, also. Okay.
We have quite a few projects.
So then it would be an ongoing position rather than just when the skate park is built that we don't need you anymore.
Right.
Okay.
The problem with bringing people on in a temporary position for fundraising and even contracting out that type of service is they take a salesman approach to it, and they go to a place. Fundraising is very much about building the relationships, and so it's really a long-term commitment. And if you start just blazing through the town, burning up people who can donate, but you don't build the relationship, then you really put yourself in a bad position for future fundraising efforts. So it's better for us to take our time and do it right. Where the skate park, that'll be a primary focus. the people that we'll go after in terms of fundraising will be, it won't be thousands and thousands of people. So when we do a Kickstarter campaign or something like that, we'll hit that number of people, but it'll be smaller donations. So anyways, that's,
yeah.
The Fort King National Historic Landmark, we're moving forward. We have a contract for archaeology that went to council last Tuesday, not this past Tuesday, but the meeting before. So we are right now finalizing the RFP for design build for the fort. At the next meeting, I will try to bring, we just completed a video that does a phenomenal job of explaining this project and the history of Fort King. So at the next, I couldn't get my hands on it, but at the next meeting, I will bring that and show it to you because it does a great job of, I think you all get the importance of the property, but it just, it really brings it all into context and what this means for Marion County in general. And so that was put together by the Fort King Heritage Association. We have a meeting on Monday with the engineering group because we're going to do the engineering and survey work in-house. So the archaeologist needs to meet with them. They'll help him lay out his grid for the work that he needs to do before we can even start the project. And we're working through the process with DEP. This is a piece of property bought with Florida Communities Trust Fund. So it's treated like state lands, even though the state doesn't own it. And so we have a lot of approval processes we're working through with them too. So they have our preliminary request to move this forward, and we're waiting to hear back from them on that. So that project's moving forward. The fort construction, if everything works out how we expect, will start in December or January, and it will be complete in April. April is significant because April is when the second fort was constructed. 1837 is we're rebuilding the second fort. The first fort was burned to the ground in, I want to say, maybe 1835-ish. And then it was a couple years later that they came in and rebuilt the second fort, which was the fort that was used for most of the Second Seminole Wars. So it gets tricky in terms of the archaeology and the layout because we are dealing with two forts that weren't built on exactly the same footprint. The archaeologist will lay all that out for us, and then we're going to shift slightly off that footprint so that as we go to build, we're not affecting those cultural resources. So that's what the whole archaeology work will take several months to get it all laid out so that when we make final decisions on where to build it. The fort is actually just like a big privacy fence and two opposing block walls. So we're not doing any of the interior or exterior structures at this time, but that'll come later. We did get the master plan for Fort King through the public meeting phase. We're hoping the first council meeting in May, we will take that master plan to council and to the county commission. Since this property is jointly owned, they both have to approve it. That master plan includes a National Park Service level visitor center, parking, and then a lot of out structures. It will be about a $5 million project, and the Fort King Heritage Association will work with us to raise the funds for that. That's another thing this fundraiser position would help to coordinate with some of our nonprofit groups. We have the Fort King Heritage Association, the Discovery Foundation, and the Magnolia Art Exchange is a not-for-profit now who's raising money for that project. So they'll be working with those organizations too. So, yes.
On the Fort King, I saw something about the Indian Agency having had such a huge building here. Will there be some kind of marker indicating where that was?
The Indian Agency was actually constructed at a location close to where the church is. off of Mary Camp, the large First Baptist Church.
Yes, from what I could understand, it's somewhere in there where the, what is that, a transportation station there? Old work camp, prison camp used to be there.
I'm thinking
Camp Roosevelt or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are you talking about where the county on Marin Camp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere out in that area.
Transportation compound is, and it's in that same area. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know what the exact location is. I know that, and I don't know if anyone does, but I know that it is in that location. It's not at Fort King.
Right.
So I don't know. I guess long-term, identifying some of the other structures. We know where the Fort King Road came through. We know how it crossed our property. We know how it came into the property. So, I mean, they have maps, government maps that show all of that. So I imagine that could be relocated. I mean, it could be located. That's just a research project that somebody would have to fund to make sure. But it's worth doing.
Yeah, I mean, with all the emphasis on the fort, then, you know, there's certainly going to be some kind of paths being crossed there.
Yep.
So before you move on, can I just touch on the programming at Fort King? Just to let you know that Bill Rodriguez and Kiefer Calkins, who is our park ranger out there, they have submitted for next year's budget 71 programs. But this year, they've started programs, edible hikes, wigwam building, other nature-based programs from fire starting to tomahawk throwing. So they're really ramping up the program activity out there. And it's creating great exposure, good foot traffic to the site. Good stuff.
Any other questions about Fort King? All right, youth sports agreements. We are moving forward with that. Catherine and I are working on one now. We had a couple of the forms that are in that policy. I had told you last time we are working with Big Sun to try to prepare what their agreement looks like. There's two types of agreements that an organization would operate under as part of that policy. One is a youth sports agreement, a licensed youth sports organization would have, and that would be an organization that makes a substantial commitment to a property. We would provide them a different kind of agreement than just a permit. And then there's an organization who doesn't make that kind of financial commitment, but they still want to use the fields. They would have a permit and pay the fees related to that usage. So we're working through with Big Sun on their part of it, but then we also have an organization who has asked to use the fields at Ocala Regional Sportsplex, but who isn't going to make a substantial. So we're able to work through both of those processes at the same time. And our plan is, as we continue working through them, to tweak that guide to make it more realistic. I think I've said this before, I can sit in my office and come up with a policy all day long, but if kids have to pay $500 to play soccer, we all know that's not going to fly. So working through it is helping us. It's opening our eyes to what our issues are with the policy. And as we firm that up, a final will come back here, and then eventually we'll get to council with it. And Thompson's Bowl, you want to give an update on that?
Right. The applications were submitted. I think we got 11. From the community, and the committee is formed, and they are reviewing those 11 applicants, and probably about the middle of May, we should be able to say, hey, this is the ones we recommend, or whatever, and bring it to you.
Where are we at now? Is this the third week?
So, in April.
Our plan is to try to bring it to you all for a final approval blessing on whatever that recommendation is in May, so that we can take it to council in June. If for some reason they don't get their work done in time to bring it to you all in May, then we'll just bump that to June and then take it to council the first meeting in July. So,
all right.
Okay.
Are they going to make any other changes out there at the Thompson Bowl?
Well, I can tell you that they did just light the trail.
you know, had one of the neighbors applaud in the lights. I was over there Tuesday.
Yeah.
And one of the neighbors came out, and he was very appreciative of the lights because he said they had quite a bit of foot traffic at night going through there and parking out there. Now he can see them.
We do hope to get out there and do some more improvements. Once we get through this naming thing, then we've got some exercise equipment out there. I know we put a piece of artwork out there. We just have to look at, we don't have a ton of land to really work with. There's a lot of land, but,
yeah, but it's, you know,
in the hole. It's actually a very pretty piece of property. So we'll continue to look at it. We do, I know that it, in terms of the trail itself, we've got some improvements to make there. We have some issues where the, you know, it's typical, the trees pulling up the sidewalk a little bit. So we got to get in there and repair that. But we'll continue to look at it.
No pavilion or restroom?
I don't know that we have, I don't know that we have room. We won't put restrooms there. Quite honestly, restrooms in a facility like that are typically a problem. We don't try to put, when we have a neighborhood facility, we try not to put facilities that will attract
shelter.
People from too far away. Okay, so if it's a neighborhood facility, you're using your own bathroom at your house and you're not driving there because you're walking. And so we don't need parking and we don't need restrooms. We do have some exceptions to that. Tom's Park is an exception because on one side it's a pretty major road and then it does feed from the back on, from the neighborhood. We did remove the vehicle access on the neighborhood side because we get complaints from neighbors that people are parking there, and so we removed that parking lot. And so from the neighborhood side it's only walk-in, and then we do have a parking lot on the other side, and it just works a little different. If we could get more land at Thompson's Bowl that we could put in some play equipment or something like that to where we could attract more people in there through the day, then we would feel more comfortable doing that. But
don't you have access to the land where the building was and all up in that area?
I don't know.
There was a parking lot.
We don't own that. Who owns that building?
No, there's nothing there now, but
who owns
where
the
old dormitory used to be and the school itself?
The Church of Church of Christ.
The Scientists? Church of Christ
Scientists? No, not the Scientists. But it's a church straight up.
Church
it's
of
the piece of
Christ.
Property that Balcony used to be on, right? In the old warehouse?
No, we're talking on the other end.
North end.
What's that, 7th Street end?
Oh, yes. That's got to be across the street, though, because there's a DRA right along the road.
Yeah, it's a DRA, but there's some property right there, too. And then when you go straight up the road there, there's a great big church on 14, red brick church.
Right on the corner there, 14.
Those are the people, actually, Matthew Scipio was originated. The way to put this is this. Matthew was one person and Scipio was another one. They were the founders of, you know, the church, that big church, Church of God by Faith, something like that.
But who owns that property there? Because there's a road. Because there's a DRA, and then there's another DR, then there's the big set of DRAs. Here's the road that runs north and south. The church is up here. Mm-hmm. There's a road right here.
Yes.
And it dead ends or something.
Yes, it's
so the
Fifth
property's
Street.
On the other side of the road.
No, there's property on the south side of Fifth Street, where there was a parking lot, there was the school itself was there, there was a building there, the school was there. On the opposite corner on Fifth Street, the dormitory was there.
The school, okay, I gotta start over here. This is up here on the north end, Simon?
Yes.
Okay, over
this
here.
This is the overgrown DRA and
right.
This is the railroad tracks.
Okay, so over in here was where the school actually was. Right here were the dormitories. Over here, the school was over here, and the railroad track was further over. Right
so
in here.
So is there land here that...
There is
something?
Land.
There should be
there.
Land that the building, the school facility was on, and there was a parking lot there.
So, but that walking trail doesn't even go over
no,
there.
No, it don't go over there.
No, it's just... Okay. Should be just vacant space there.
Yeah, I don't know that we own it. I'd have to look.
Will you look up who owns it?
Yeah, we will.
I mean, it was, they've taken over the other part where the dormitory was, so it would seem logical that if they got one parcel, they got all of it.
I know I'm not naming that church right.
I know what one you're talking about, though.
So they owned all of that property at one time.
Okay. We'll look it up.
And they sold a lot of, I know they sold it to the city. Because actually, I think I got this sales thing. I know I had.
Over by Boys and Girls Club.
But when they were talking about building the homeless camp over there, was it going to be across the railroad track in the wooded area behind the police station, or was it going to be in the area of the Thompson Bowl?
God, I don't know how they did that around.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was going to be on the other side. There was like 11 acres or something on the other side of the track.
Who does own the piece up where the warehouse? Is that warehouse still there?
Yes.
Where balcony?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who owns that? Because that's the piece to have.
Yeah.
I don't know who owns it.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure, but I believe that's what Thompson owns.
Maybe we could trade them.
Thompson Concrete.
Mm. Well, I'll look it up.
Actually, that's what the Thompson.
That's where the Thompson comes from.
Yeah, that's who owned it. It was Thomas Concrete, not Thompson.
Oh, Thomas across
right.
Over on 17th used to be over there.
Right, and that's where the name, you know, the name got messed up there some kind of way, but it was.
No, there was a Thompson that owned it. But it was spelled different.
Yeah.
It was T-O-M-P-S-O-N, not T-H.
Thomas Concrete. I'm just telling you.
All right. So, Lily and Brian Splash Pad, you want to give an update on that?
Well, yeah. Actually, it's kind of like out. We've done all the groundwork. We have submitted to procurement, and procurement have put it out in the street. And May the 2nd, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah.
Yep, that's a pre-bid, pre-proposal. That's another project that it's a design build, so we will start construction in December, and hopefully kids will be splashing by April. Questions on that? All right. Parks up there? Sure I do. The best news of the day is that we've interviewed for the Parks Operations Division Head. We did final interviews today, and we hope to fill that in the next 4 to 6 weeks. Other than that, the Parks Operations Division has been heavily supporting events. We've had two major events in the last this month of April, and April usually stays pretty busy. We had Jazz on the Green on April 2nd, and then the Silver Springs International Film Festival, which was a week-long event that our parks team support. So they've been heavily involved in that. Let's see, we've got an event coming up this Saturday, Downtown Citizen Circle. That group supports that as well, logistics and setup. So April's been an events month for Parks Ops, along with everything else, getting ball fields ready, downtown beautification, planters have been replanted, and yeah. So what's recreation doing, Irene? Getting ready for summer camps.
Yeah, actually, you know, it's that time of year where we go to perfect for the summer. I mean, from food maintenance to putting things out so that everybody is informed about the programs and activities that we have going on during the summer, from our summer camps to our learn to swim programs to our aqua size. Classes that we have in the summer for people with disabilities and things of that nature. We also, in our safety meeting this morning, we went over lightning because it is a major concern. And you know, we're in the lightning capital of the world here. And we have policies and stuff in place, but we have a new safety coordinator or manager for the city of Ocala, and he came in, you know, running, and he's addressing a whole lot of different issues and all. And one of the things we did, we threw all the stuff right out there, you know, first. We wanted to come on in and share his thoughts about what we already have and what we may need to add to that. And he's doing a great job of that. Also, we have our youth fishing derby upcoming. Not only the fishing derby, what are you going to talk about?
You can talk about it.
All right, so Iago, April the 23rd, Earth Day in the Great Outdoors, here at Tuscarora Park from 9 to 3. We will have a fishing derby from 9 to 1, the youth fishing derby. Next Thursday, the Freshwater and Game Commission will load up Lake Tuscarora with some channel catfish, some brams, specks, all those good fish. So listen, won't y'all come on out Saturday morning and enjoy some of that? I mean, you don't have to stay all day, but come on out and enjoy the fishing derby. Look at the people climb up and down the tree. Probably there might be some pole climbers, I'm not quite sure. But we also will have a display for the community garden there, so that people can come and we'll have a table and people can pick up our information about the garden. And I'm trying to think, did we the last planning, the last meeting? Did we talk about that?
I don't know if you had finished it or not.
I think so.
Okay. So anyway, March 19th, we planted 26 more beds. Mm-hmm. So we have a total of 51, yes. Because
yeah.
I remember I got a $100 donation. Mm-hmm. I sure did.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. You did. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to bore you with that. But I went out today about 1:30, and I looked at some nice little plants coming up. You know, it really took off well. We have a Facebook page. It's the WOW Community Garden on Facebook. So you ought to go in and look at that and hit us, like us, and things of that nature. And you know what, we're always doing recreation, and there's many, many people that have went through our recreation programs, and every so often we have the privilege of looking into the newspaper or looking on the television and seeing somebody from Ocala. And a week ago, there was a young man out of Dunn Ellen was recognized by City Council. I think it was Dunn. Both places. What was his name? I do know of 12 athletes that left Ocala and went and played professional football and basketball that came through the War Memorial Recreation Center, which is now known as the E.D. Kroski Center. And this morning, again, I had a privilege of looking into the paper, and a young lady by at the age of 17.
Yes, I saw it.
Oh!
Holy cow.
Say her name. Raquel? Raquel?
Rella?
Okay, Rella Booth. She's 17 years old. She played at the Kroski Center from the time she was 8 years old until AAU team picked her up. And she's been to Jacksonville, you know, when you're good, people pick you up. And she ended up leaving here and went to Jacksonville shortly to an academy. And now she's down in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And she's getting ready to go play for, she's hoping to play for Team USA.
Mm-hmm. And she says, I played over here at E.D. Kroski Recreation Center in Ocala since I was 8. And from there, I was asked to play on an AAU team. That's pretty cool.
So, you know,
do you have a way to honor these people at Kroski Center? A wall or something that has
We don't have that right now.
And you know, we're kind of limited for space. What about
the halls by the library?
That could be neat. You know, it's just got to.
Even if you just did a small picture of each of them on one plaque, that would be real cool.
Yeah.
So I can't wait till kids can see what comes out of there.
Is there some type of fundraiser on social media for the community?
Wall of Fame or?
I'm can't find it. Several people have posted it though. For like a grant or something, you have to go and vote. What is that?
Well, yeah.
I meant to save the link, but obviously I didn't.
Well, Well, there are several grants out there, and one of them, I can't think of the name of it right now, but anyway, you got to go on the link to vote.
Is it on the Community Gardens webpage?
There it is.
Yeah, it's on Community Gardens.
There it is. Where you vote and you can get a grant. Is that you guys? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we should probably take
That's
that.
You guys.
All of us.
All of us.
They had Travis in there.
Is he?
And twice last week, Travis Mays.
Okay. No, I missed
him. Yeah, he's the new head coach at SMU.
Yeah. Okay.
It is a nice picture, isn't
it?
I gotta save it so I remember to vote.
Number one. Yeah, I'll have to look. You good, Ari?
Yes.
I'll give a brief update on special services. Discovery Center renovations are still going on but winding down. The building's been painted. Getting the stairway painted. Most of the interior stuff is complete, with the exception of the installation of the elevator, which should happen pretty quickly. When's that supposed to be installed, Kathy?
It's supposed to be done by the first week of May.
So that's winding down. The art park is progressing. We are to the point where we are almost ready to install the landscaping, and the shade structures. Are they shade structures? Yeah, shade structures, aren't they? Two in the art park? Got two going in?
Well, yeah, there will be two going in. We're not quite ready for them yet.
Let's see, what else is going on? Special services. Discovery Science Center is ramping up for camp. Most of their staff hired for summer camp.
They got a new camp this summer too. They're adding a third camp
for the little ones.
6 and 7 year olds. Before they were 8 and above.
Right.
And they're only going to do 2 weeks, so one in June and one in July, and see how it goes. Now with the upstairs being done, they have a little more room. So they thought it would be good to try something with that younger group. We'll see how sciencey they are.
And we are hiring for summer positions, and also our event staff. Thank you. The only one that is looking for. You want to be on the event staff?
Signing you up. My third class is coming up.
So we have another set of lifeguard classes coming up April the 29th through May 10th. 250.
I don't know if you know, and if you haven't stopped by there, you should, and see Irie's new digs across the way. The Recreation Operations Center is now functional. It is the old fire admin building. It's been renovated, and so we were able to bring all of our recreation supervisors together into one building finally. Obviously they have centers and programs they run, so they're out constantly for that, but they are able to come together for a few hours every day, and it really provides some opportunities for synergy and working together on programs and new ideas and just working through things so that they're not each recreating everything every time they have an issue. So
And where is it located?
If you go down Sanchez, and you know, when it comes to the stop sign, take a right, and it's right there to your left, right by the fire station.
Okay.
The old fire admin building.
Okay. We've kind of created a little campus here.
Yes.
We've got the cultural arts at the train station.
Yeah.
And then Discovery Science here, Senior Center. And we've got a 6-person golf cart that we stage.
Yeah, if you just feel like riding around.
entertain someone. Mobile stage?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was going to say, in case you didn't notice, we demoed the old shuffleboard courts by the Senior Center.
Yes,
they have been unused since 2013.
Oh. They were kind of an
Was that you that called to reserve them? Sent our receptionist into a spin? The day they were being demolished, one of the guys that was in charge of the project called our reception, called Val, and said, "Hey, I want to reserve your shuffleboard courts."
Like, oh, no.
Okay. He was pulling her like, "Well, what we're hoping to do with that space is to create, we don't have any entrance to Tuscola Park. You know, our master plan calls for an entrance to eventually be constructed, but in the meantime, we have a phenomenal cultural center here. We have a discovery center. We have nothing that tells you that that stuff is here. And so we're hoping to develop a landscaped entrance that will have, we're not going to move the road or anything, but we'll have a nice landscape feature there with a sign that tells you what facilities you can find in this park. That same signage, which we're hoping will be here by this summer, will also have a sign further down on 8th Avenue that will have a digital board. We'll tell you the different programs going on in the park. And then we'll get signs at each of the corners. But there is no true entrance to Tuscola Park. So that's what we're hoping to accomplish here. Supper's ready.
No.
No.
All right. Oh, mobile stage. The mobile stage has arrived. We received. I think we're received in the last week, and that gives us another option for events, different venues. We can set it up almost anywhere. It's 40 foot long. Well, the stage itself is 36, but I think the total length on it is 40 feet. So, Parks Operations Supervisor, they're gonna have a show and tell for our staff, I think a week from Wednesday. It's all hydraulic setup. It's pretty impressive as far as sound system, screen,
lights.
It looks like a semi truck. We don't know. Unfolding. And you know we've got the movie screen that we purchased as well. We've been renting a screen for our movies in the park
Flick and Float.
But we've purchased one, and so we should. So we're kind of in the events business too.
Well, the stage provides a great opportunity for us to be able to provide entertainment in places where we don't have built stages, because at this point we've pretty much been limited to the downtown area, and so this will help us to be able to take the show on the road. Not too far down the road, but.
All right. I think that's our reports.
Comments by the board. Anybody have anything fun? No?
The sculptures look nice.
Good.
I didn't make it to the event, but I took my mom. She was visiting, and so we went out there, and it was, she really enjoyed, we both enjoyed it.
Awesome.
The sculptures look good. Are there the same amount as last year, the last time we did it?
I believe there's 10.
Okay.
Right. Or we kept Jean and Joan and...
Well, there should be more because we kept Jean and Joan and we got the loft.
Right.
Although Jean and... Is that her name? Jean and Joan?
I think it's Jean and Mary.
But he's been beheaded for a second time, so he's out for repairs.
Yeah. That's the one on the bench with... The...
Right.
Yeah. His head gets knocked off every now and then.
That's
he must be running his mouth or something. She probably reaches over there and somehow we find his head on the ground.
I'll tell Mom, she asked about that specific one.
Yeah.
And we saw the slab and she goes, oh, that's where the couple
That's one
was.
Of the favorites. People love that.
Yeah. So I'll tell her it's coming back.
It's coming back.
Okay.
You mentioned the shades. You mentioned the shades earlier. When are you putting the one up at Lillian Bryant?
The completion date for that, I want to say they have to be done by the first week in July. Is their notice to proceed has been issued, but the structure itself had to be ordered. So as soon as it comes in, their completion date is the end of July. They have to be done.
Sunday evening, there was about 300 people at that park.
Wow. Yeah, it's nice.
It was full on Sunday evening. I mean,
nice.
Rec space had little boys out there playing flag football. They had a group playing kickball. They had several people playing basketball up on the courts. They were all being used.
Awesome.
And all around the park, people were sitting. I mean, that was true. The weather was nice, but you never see people just sitting around in the park.
And like, enjoying, yeah.
It's one of the prettiest parks we have. I love that park. Wait till we get a splash pad out there.
You have to have somebody working on Sundays then. Too many people to be
what
on
you doing Sunday, Eric?
Yeah, too many people for the park to be unattended.
On the 13th, because they had a hearing on the 14th in front of Judge Craggs, her car got broken into on the 13th at Jerby Gant.
It happens pretty regularly.
That's
that
what
part.
She said. Are there videos?
We actually are putting I don't know which parking lot she was in, but the one that typically gets hit is the one off of 24th. We don't usually have cameras, but we're going to be putting
cameras. Are
we going
to put them in? Okay.
Yeah. We do have cameras throughout our park system, but they're mostly to monitor crowds. So it gives us an idea how many people are in this event zone. So that if something,
I guess people know you're walking, your stuff is in your vehicle.
Yeah, it's a thing. What do they call it? It's
we really
something alley, and it's different parks all along I-75. Where these people just go in and they hit.
Oh, you don't think they're local?
Oh, they're not local.
Because can you imagine their surprise when they opened that wallet? Found out they broke into a circuit judge's car.
Yeah.
Right.
They caught one of the, you heard it was like last year or year before that one of the people, as they broke in there, OPD was all over it. They had been monitoring it.
Wow.
And
is it began?
Yes.
I had no idea.
And there was a chase down I-75, and that car ended up crashing, and it killed those people in it.
Over a That's car? Breaking into a car?
Right, but we weren't even chasing to... It's... What is it called? Felony Lane. It's called Felony Lane.
I can't believe it.
How do we get... Right. If people are specifically targeting that lot because they know...
It's not just that lot, and you never know when it's going to happen at that lot. But, like, it happened at Tuscola probably about 5 months ago. And there's signage up that tells people to make sure you secure your belongings.
I had no idea.
It happened at the golf course a couple years ago.
It's a sign, like, when you go into the swimming pool parking lot, right as you come in, there's a sign right there that tells you, make sure that you...
Where's one of the number one places people go that they don't take their purse with them?
Probably the swimming pool.
And that's what she said. I would have never thought of that. But
if you want to break in cars and steal stuff,
but if I were
going to
walk, I guess I wouldn't walk.
Well, and then you just leave it out.
Right.
I would
assume. Right. Yeah.
I know. I leave my wallet out.
One place.
Is it cost prohibitive to put cameras in the car?
Sits right there in my seat, probably.
To all of them. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty bad about locking my car, but it's been broken into.
If she was the one on the 24th,
I think that's what she said.
Yeah.
That one gets hit more.
Even at the Y, I probably should lock it.
Right. Something about.
Did you park in the back back there?
That's what I call it. And you know it's
going to
be in there. Your cell
phone. Well, yeah. Well,
and I say it happens a lot.
Right down the hill.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen so much that
I
you can pinpoint that we need to have cameras here, cameras
too.
Here. That one in particular has probably
Young
been hit.
Christian Association.
I'd say three times in the last couple of years.
But you'd be surprised.
So that's why OPD wants to put it there. But it happens a lot in parks.
Wow.
But I'm not saying that any particular park gets hit frequently enough that you can say we gotta have cameras here. So
and you put your stuff in your trunk
at
home when you're leaving. You don't wait till you get there and go to put your stuff in
because they
trunk.
See you.
Oh, they're clearly watching.
Sitting there watching you. He'd come and rob you right here.
Or he could just pop your trunk once he gets in your car.
Right, right. He's just gonna break your window and pop your trunk. I mean, it's the same.
Well, then
or you just don't exercise. Yeah.
It works.
That's the key.
It works.
That works.
We have found a solution.
It's working so well. I haven't had anything stolen. So probably we can look around the room and say, I bet she hasn't had anything stolen out of her car. You've probably been robbed a few times.
That is
okay. Any other comments?
I would make a motion to adjourn.
Second?
I will second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anybody that wants to stay?
Oh my God. I went to Costa Rica last month.
Oh, nice.